أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاخت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم اعلموا أن الله يحيي الأرض بعد موتها صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
We are blessed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon us yet another blessing to be alive in this holy month of Sha'ban Al-Mu'azzam, and benefit from the blessings of this month which is associated with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad,
and is supposed to be preparing us spiritually for the arrival into the month of Ramadan, which is the month of Allah. Last night we had the privilege to do the A'mal, those specified actions, du'as or prayer that were supposed to be done in that night, which is the second most superior night in the Islamic calendar after the night of Qadr in the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the amal and actions and du'as and prayers for all of you. And congratulations to all of you, respectable brothers and sisters, on the birth of our Imam, the Imam of our age, Waliyul Asr, Sahib al-Zaman, Al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan al-Askari, عليهم الصلاة والسلام وعجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل.
And like I mentioned earlier, that in this occasion, as we are celebrating his birth today, and also we will celebrate our celebration about him on this coming Sunday, I would like to mention the khasa'is, some of the specific attributes of the Imam of our time in these days. The Imam of our time is unique because of a long list of attributes and long list of specific things which are found in his personality about him and not found about anyone else. The first thing was the noor of the Imam, The Noor of the Imam alayhi salam was kal kawkabid durri, like a bright star among the rest of the anwar, rest of the divine lights of the Ma'sumeen alayhi salam. And that has been proven in the light of various narrations, al-akhbar al-mi'rajiyya, narrations which are related to the incident of Mi'raj. So he, in his nur and illumination, stands alone among the rest of the nur of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. This is the first thing that we need to keep in our minds about the greatness of our Imam. Second of all is the Sharafatun Nasab. That means he is enjoying the most unique lineage any human ever had. From his paternal side, the Imam of our time has 11 of the Imams in his lineage. Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha in his ancestral tree, 11 of the Imams and Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha and the Holy Prophet. That means 13 of the 14 Ma'sumeen. He is the only one who has 13 among the 14 infallibles in his ancestral tree. This is from the paternal side. Now from the maternal side, his mother is Hazrat Narjis Khatun salamullah alayha, Malika, who is from the daughter of the Kaiser of the Roman Empire, and he was from the lineage of Hazrat Shamun bin As-Safa. Hazrat Shamun bin As-Safa was the Wasi and Khalifa and deputy of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. And in his lineage, in his ancestral tree, there are several prophets of God. So we find that Imam alayhi salam is connected with this beautiful ancestral tree from his maternal side and paternal side, which is unique and not found for any other human being. So this sharafatun nasab, this nobility of his ancestors and the lineage in which he is there, is one of the most unique things that he enjoys. And only him, he is the one, only one who enjoys that. So third of all is the fact that he was taken by two angels of Allah soon after his birth to the presence of Allah. And this treatment, this special treatment, was never witnessed in the history of any of the Imams or any of the Prophets of God. He is the only infallible that Allah has treated him in this way in the entire history of humanity. As soon as he was born, there are two special angels who took him to the presence of Allah, and that's where Allah talked directly to Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam and said to him, "Welcome to you, my slave." And for the nusrat, for the victory of my religion, and izhar and expressing of my amr, that means the walayat and supremacy of Allah, and you are the guided one, you are the Mahdi, among my servants, and I swear that I am going to take and give upon you. That means whoever is going to be rewarded among the humanity, people of our times, they all will be rewarded upon the Imam and our behavior towards his walayat, and those who will be punished will be punished according to our behavior towards his walayat. And I'm going to forgive for your sake. Whoever will be forgiven by Allah will be forgiven for the sake of the Imam. So this is the specific behavior. And then we find the angels took him back and gave it to his father, Imam al-Askari alayhi salam. This is the third specific attributes. As we are mentioning some of those specific attributes, I would like to mention possibly 24 if possible, inshallah. Fourth of all is the house, the palace that is specific to the Imam of our time inside the paradise is what is called Baytul Hamd, the house of the praise. This is something which is again specific to him only. And this is the house where we learn Allah has lit a lamp inside the house. And that lamp has been lit since the time Imam Mahdi alayhi salam was born and will continue to be lit till his khuruj and uprising for the installation of justice and the whole planet, and will continue to be lit after that. So this kind of house with this kind of a lamp is not found for anybody else. Fifth of all, combining of his kunya, in Farsi we say kunyat, and name is not permissible in the Sharia. It is not allowed for any mu'min to mention, to put the name of of the Prophet and his kunyat. Prophet's name we all know is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And his kunyat means the father of so and so. That's how we pay respect in Arabic to someone. Kunyat of the Prophet is Abul Qasim. It is not permissible in the Sharia to name your son with both of these at the same time. You can name your son as Muhammad, which is very good. That's how the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam used to do. In the light of the hadith we learn, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, whenever a child was born in our family, we used to name him Muhammad. Later on, if we wanted to change to something else, we change. But initially, we always name our child to be Muhammad. So that's the sunnah of Ahlul Bayt. We always name our children with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we can name our child as Muhammad, we can name our child as Abul Qasim, but we are not supposed to name our child both at the same time, because that means combining the two. And combining the two, the kunyat means Abul Qasim, father of Qasim, and the name of the Prophet is not permissible for one person. This is something which is only specific for Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. Well, he is the only person who is supposed, in the light of the Sharia, he is supposed to have the name of the Prophet plus also combining the same kunyat, means the Abul Qasim, for him. No one else. This is the fifth specific attribute of our Imam. The sixth one is that it is not allowed for a person to mention the name of the Imam. Man sammani in Tawqi' al-Mubarak, we learn man sammani fi majma'in min al-nas fa alayhi la'natullah. Whoever names me in the gathering of the people, upon him be the la'nat and curse of Allah. It is not permissible in the Sharia to mention the name of the Imam, which is the name of the Holy Prophet, but when you are intending to mean in your niyat the Imam of the time, mention him with his alqab and titles. Do not mention him with his name. That's not permissible. A person who does that is condemned. It is not the wisdom of Allah that anyone knows him, and his name is mentioned like this. Instead, his name should be, people should focus on his titles. God knows what is the hikmat and wisdom behind that. We don't know. But maybe ihtimal, and one of the wisdom is that when we are supposed to focus on the alqab of the Imam, the titles, that's how we will learn to behave ourselves. Because if we just learn his name, this ummah is not going to learn to behave themselves. Isn't it right? 11 of the Muhammads sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam have been slaughtered by the people, isn't it? By the Tahuts. It's not 11 Imams becoming Shaheed. It is Rasulullah being slaughtered 11 times. Isn't it right? Awwaluna Muhammad wa akhiruna Muhammad wa awsatuna Muhammad wa kulluna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Eleven times Rasulullah has been slaughtered by the Tahut regimes and people could not save the Imams. Now enough is enough. We need to focus on his alqab and titles so we learn to behave ourselves. We learn to do our own tarbiyat, our own Islamic upbringing and spiritual upbringing, so we can live up to the expectations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we learn about the fact that the Imam of the time is Al-Qa'im, he's the riser, then we will learn to behave ourselves, that there is no room in Islam to stay idle and silent over the oppression. Isn't it right? And when we learn that one of the titles of the Imam is Al-Muntazar, the awaited one, all the prophets are waiting for him, all the deputies of all the prophets are waiting for him, all the shuhada, martyrs and siddiqeen and a'imma and sadiheen are waiting for him. We will learn to behave ourselves. What is the concept of intidhar and awaiting for the Imam, and so that we can have his ma'rifat and depth recognition and obey, and so on and so forth. So it is not allowed to mention the name of the Imam. So, seventh of all is the fact that khatmul wasaya. That means Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam is the khatmul awsiya. So just like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the seal of all the prophets, and there is no prophet coming after him. Anyone who claims to be a prophet has to be a kazzab and a liar. Isn't it right? Because Quran can never be false and falsified. مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. So Muhammad is not the father of one of your men. Instead, a messenger of Allah. Instead, messenger of Allah and the seal of the prophets. Similarly, we find that Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam is the seal of all the deputies. There is no deputy of the Prophet coming after him. Anyone who claims to be the Wasi and Khalifa and deputy is a liar. So he's the final hujjat and evidence of Allah, and there will be no evidence after him. Enough is enough. Whoever needs to learn what is haq from what is batil, what is the truth from what is the falsehood, and distinguish so he can support the people of haq and distance from the people of batil, so he should do it through the Imam and his hidayat and guidances. He is the final wasi and final hujjat of Allah. So eighth of all, as we are discussing the specific attributes of our Imam not found with anyone else in the entire history. So eighth of all is the ghaibat. We do not find that any ma'soom alayhi salam among the prophets or the Imams has been taken for that long of ghaibat. We do have short durations of absences. Hazrat Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam, you know, he left his nation from Iraq, isn't it right? After the whole incident of Namrud, isn't it right? Throwing him into the fire, and those people were worshipping idols, and he disassociated himself. Uffin lakum wa lima ta'buduna min dunillah. And he condemned those people and migrated from Iraq to Sham, where he discovered the people are worshipping star, or, you know, or the sun. And he also tried to guide them, and then when he did, they did not get guided, he also left them again. So later on he migrated towards Makkah and built the holy Kaaba with his son Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam. So they were short durations of absences. Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam, when he propagated in his nation for 30 years and they did not learn to behave towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his tawheed, he left his nation alone. And likewise our holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam also left his nation when he migrated, isn't it right? The hijrat. Sometimes he used to go to the ghar, the cave. So hijrat and migration and short durations of absences from the people are found in the history, but an occultation and ghaibat for long duration is never found for anybody except the Imam of our time. And he is the only one who has the ghaibat and occultation right from his, actually kept away from the people right from the time of his birth. We have a ghaibat al-sughra, the lesser absence period, isn't it right? And then we have al-ghaibat al-kubra, the greater absence period where we are all living in that duration. But apart from the lesser absence period when he was meeting with his specifically assigned deputies for an-Nawab al-Arba'a, the four deputies, one after the other. We don't have two Na'ib of the Imams at one time. One is the Na'ib, and when one dies, then there is another one, isn't it right? So you don't have two Na'ibs of the Imam in that Al-Ghaybat al-Sughra. There was one person who was the Na'ib. When he was about to die, then Imam alayhi salam appointed the second person to the Na'ib. When he was about to die, then he appointed the third person. So you don't have two Na'ib at one time. And the same is sadiq and true today in the Ghaybat al-Kubra. One mujtahid is the Na'ib. We respect all of them. It is wajib to respect all the maraji, hafadhahum Allah ajma'een. But one is the Na'ib, not two. So Imam alayhi salam, even in the ghaibat period, ghaibat al-sughra, he was used to meet with his Na'ib only, not with the public. Isn't that right? So when it comes to the public, awamun nas, he was ghaib. So his ghaibat was starting since the time of his birth. Only khawas Shia, only the greatest personalities among the Shias, Ahmad ibn Ishaq al-Ash'ari al-Qummi salamullahi alayh, people like him, who was the wakil of Imam al-Askari alayhi salam in Madinat Qum al-Muqaddasa, in the holy city of Qum, which is Ushu Ahl al-Bayt, in the hadith of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. So personalities like Ahmad ibn Ishaq al-Ash'ari al-Qummi salamullahi alayh, and very few other people like him had the privilege to meet with the Imam after his birth. No one else among the Shia community can see him. So his ghaibat started from his birth. He was handed over to Ruhul Qudus, special angel of Allah, and Ruhul Qudus was supporting, assisting and helping the Imam alayhi salam, and he was raised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the alamun nur, in the world of divine light, kept away from all the kasafat, all the filth, najasat, dirt, harams, ma'siyat, sins, kufr, disbelief in Allah, shirk, associating partners with Allah, nifaq, hypocrisy, ilhad, denying God totally, isn't it right? Every other kind of sin and kasafat and dirt and filth, he was kept away from all that nonsense of the humankind and the followers of the shaitan who were doing the kufr and shirk and nifaq. He was kept away from all that in the alam al-nur and assisted by the Ruhul Qudus salamullahi alayhi. So this is the specific, eighth specific thing of our imam. Ninth of all is, he was kept away from the mu'asharat, from living alongside with the kuffar and munafiqeen. That's another aspect. The Holy Prophet ﷺ and the rest of the 11 imams did not enjoy this ni'mat of Allah, this khassa, this specific situation. They enjoyed all the ni'mats of Allah, obviously, but this specific situation that they should be kept away from the kuffar and munafiqeen? No. We find some of the worst people of the humanity were sitting next to the Holy Prophet. Isn't it right? Some of those people who are in the qa'r of Jahannam, who are in the bottom of the hellfire, were sitting next to the Holy Prophet. So Prophet was living in a society along with the kuffar and mushrikeen and munafiqeen. Isn't it right? And jawasis. Yeah. So people who were spying and working for the enemies of Islam, doing espionage against the Holy Prophet. So these kind of crooked people were there, and Prophet was living in a society where there are people like this as well. So he said that إِنِّي لَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ 70 مَرَّةٍ. I do istighfar towards Allah 70 times every day. Prophet doesn't stand in need of istighfar. He is ma'soom of the highest level. Isn't it? He doesn't even think of doing the sin. Forget about doing it. He doesn't even think of doing any disobedience of Allah throughout his life. He doesn't stand in need of any istighfar. So our scholars say that he used to get upset, you know. His qalb used to become upset over the harams of the people around him. And it makes sense when you are living in a society along with so many people with so many harams piling up, a person who has nothing but taharat will feel upset. So we find that whereas our rest of the imams were also living in a society where there were kuffar and munafiqeen, isn't it right? Imam Ali alayhi salam, satuqatilu ba'di al-nakithina wal-qasatina wal-mariqeen, isn't it right? Prophet had said to Imam Ali alayhi salam, soon you're going to fight after me with the nakithin and qasatin and mariqeen. So all of them were kuffar in our dictionary, wa alaykum as-salam. All of them were munafiqeen, right? And the haqiqat of nifaq is kufr from the batin. Nifaq is from the batin, is kufr from the zahir, is Islam. So our rest of the imams were also living in the similar situations. So we find that it's only mukhtas, something specific to Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam, that he is living in a life away from the mu'asharat, from hanging around with the kuffar and munafiqeen and mushrikeen and even fasiqeen, even the Shias who are doing fisq and harams. He's away from all of them. So our imams used to end up doing taqiyya in some of the times to protect their life, because the government was in the hand of taghuts, isn't it right? So they had to protect their life for the sake of Islam. Taqiyya means protecting your religion, not protecting your life. They were protecting their life so that they can serve Islam. So some of the times we find our A'imma alayhi salam had to do taqiyya because of the situation of the time, mudarat, getting along with the people, isn't it right? It's out of their akhlaq and morality. So this is how you have to do, this is how you have to live. They were living in a society with all those, with so many of the bad people around them. So whereas the Imam of our time is not living in any society with any kafir or any munafiq or even any mu'min who is fasiq or any zalim, he's kept away by Allah intentionally away from all of them. This behavior is never found towards any representative of God in the history. Tenth of all is not having the bay'at falling in the neck. So Imam alayhi salam says himself in his Tawqi' al-Mubarak that there is no one among my ancestors illa, except that the bay'at has fallen in his neck. So we know that Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam never did the bay'at of Banu Umayyah. They never did the bay'at of Banu Abbas. They never did the oath of allegiance. They never accepted any of the zalim governments. Isn't it right? A ma'soom and infallible can never accept any zalim to be the ruler. That's not possible. But regardless of this behavior, the bay'at, the laws of that government was forcibly enforced upon them. That's why they were sent to jails. Our imams were sent to jails by the Tahuts, isn't it right? The governments were forcibly enforcing the laws of their government on the imams. This is what we call waqa'atil bay'ah. That means bay'at is falling upon your neck, whether you like it or not, whether you do it or not, but it's falling upon your neck. So the laws of the Taghut governments was forcibly enforced upon the rest of the imams. They never did the bay'at, but the Taghut governments were enforcing their laws and forcing the imams to go to jails, poison them, kill them, torture them, and forcing their own laws over the imams and sending them to jails. Isn't it right? Etc. Whereas this kind of behavior, إِنِّي أَخْرُجْ حِينَ أَخْرُجْ وَلَا بَيْعَةَ لِأَحَدٍ مِّنَ الطَّوَاغِيتِ فِي أُنُقِي. Imam Sahib Azman says in his Tawqi' al-Mubarak that I'm going to uprise when I will uprise, and there is no bay'at of any tahut falling in my neck. No bay'at of any tahut in my neck. So this is the 10th specific attribute of our Imam. So 11th of all is the alama, the sign. Our Imam alayhi salam, behind his back, has the sign and the seal of walayat and imamat on his back, just like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam had the khatm and the seal and the alamat and sign behind his back, and the seal of his risalat and messengership. Similarly, Imam Sahib Zaman alayhi salam has a seal, has a sign behind his back about his imamat and walayat. 12th of all, we find that that Imam alayhi salam is specific because in the divine books, revealed upon various prophets before our Holy Prophet, and likewise in the Akhbar, in the narrations of the Mi'raj and Ascension of the Holy Prophet, we find that Imam has been mentioned with his several alqab, not with his name. This is also specific to the Imam alayhi salam about him being prophesied and mentioned in the previous books. 13th specific attribute of the Imam is the zuhur of the alamat as-samawiyya wal-ardiyya. That means appearance of the signs in the heaven and on earth about the Imam. Just like it never happened before for anyone in that fashion, in that way, of the way it is going to happen for the Imam. So we have this ayat of Holy Quran which says, "Sanurihim af ayatina fil afaqi hatta yat wa fi anfusihim hatta yatabayyana lahum annahu al-haq." So soon we are going to show our signs to them, in the horizons and in their selves, so that it becomes obvious for them that Allah is Haq, that He is Haq. So this ayat is usually mentioned when we talk about Tawheed. Isn't it right? So, in the tafsir of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he is doing the tafsir of this ayat and applying the tabayyun of haq, appearance and becoming obvious that he is haq. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is applying the tabayyun al-haq upon the khuruj al-qa'im. Tabayyun al-haq stands for the khuruj al-qa'im. That means uprising of the Imam al-qa'im alayhi salam. This is what is meant from the ayat where Allah says hatta yatabayyana, until it becomes clear. So it will become clear when Imam alayhi salam is going to do the uprising. It will become clear that he is haq. Imam Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is haq. So this is, we have a long list of signs for the Imam. Some of the scholars have counted the signs to be 400 in total. Excuse me. Inshallah, if Allah permits, sometimes we can talk about his signs. But that's not as much important discussion to talk about the signs. What is more important is our own preparedness, not to find out what is going to happen around us. Even if we find out, it's not going to benefit if we are not prepared. So what is more important is to focus on our own preparedness instead of looking at the signs outside, where the outer signs are looking towards us, the humans who are ashraf al-makhluqat and most superior. So let's not look at the signs. Let the signs keep on looking towards us. We are superior than the things around us. We are humans, isn't it right? So let's not focus on the rest of the things when the rest of the things are already focusing and looking towards us to improve. There are some people who keep on focusing on the signs, you know. This is the sign of the appearance of the Imam. And I always say to them, stop your focus on the signs. It's not going to lead you anywhere. You need to focus on our own preparedness for the Imam and intidhar. 14th of all is the nida. Thank you. Is the divine announcement that is bound to happen. That's mentioned in the tafsir of Ali ibn Ibrahim al-Qummi rahmatullah alayhi. A very well respected tafsir of Quran, because it is written by a very, very highly regarded scholar, Ali ibn Ibrahim al-Qummi rahmatullahi alayhi. Such a remarkable tafsir of Quran that he has written. And our great scholars and urafa pay a lot of respect to this tafsir of Ali ibn Ibrahim al-Qummi rahmatullah alayh. In his tafsir, he mentions from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, talking about this ayat of Holy Quran, وَاسْتَمِعْ يَوْمَ يُنَادِ الْمُنَادِ مِنْ مَكَانٍ قَرِيبٍ. Listen when the announcer will announce from a close place. In other words, and Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is doing the tafsir of this ayat of Holy Quran, where he says the munadi is going to announce with the name of Imam al-Qa'im alayhi salam and his father. This is meant from the ayat of Quran. So there will be an announcer, Jibreel, Archangel Jibreel will announce on behalf of Allah in the name of Imam alayhi salam and his father. So that's how every person would understand. We have plenty of narrations on that subject, and some of the muhaddiseen have claimed, you know, iddia al-tawatur. They have claimed that this riwayat is mutawatira. Tawatur in ilm al-hadith, we say up to that narration which is narrated by either A, so many authentic narrators, or B, even if it is narrated by less narrators in number, but is narrated in such a way that it brings about yaqeen and certitude in your qalb about the contents of this narration said by the ma'soom. This is the definition of a riwayatun mutawatira, hadithun mutawatir. So our muhaddiseen say that this is hadithun mutawatir. This is something which is, is 100% confirmed. The contents are 100% confirmed. There is no doubt about it. So there is going to be the nida, an announcement of Jibreel. And every single human is going to hear, those who are in the east and those who are in the west. Every person without exception will hear the announcement of Jibreel, who is announcing in the name of Imam Sahib Zaman alayhi salam and his father. And we, you know, so now there is no ambiguity left. No human can say to Allah tomorrow, I did not know, nobody told me, so make me exempt from the punishment. We already mentioned that Imam alayhi salam is the final hujjat of Allah. There is no hujjat of Allah coming after him. So enough is enough. Anybody who wants to open up his eyes and learn to behave himself and obey the Creator, this is the last chance. So now there is an announcement. Allah is bringing his final deputy. There is no one after him. Isn't it right? Look at the arrangement of Allah. His unique announcement through Jibreel. And every single human is going to hear the announcement in his own language. He will understand. Let me say, rephrase it. Everyone will understand regardless of what language he speaks. If a person is sleeping, he will wake up automatically by the, you know, this is the arrangement of Allah. If a person is lying down, he will sit up. If a person is standing, he will sit down out of the fear of the announcement. And if somebody is unconscious, sick in the hospital, wherever, he will become conscious and hear it. So there is zero room for anyone to say, I did not know the Imam. So this is what Allah wants from me and you. Itmam al-Hujjah, isn't it right? Lasta alayhim bi musaytir. Allah says to his messenger, say, we are not supposed to forcibly make anybody a Muslim. There is no force in Islam. The job of the prophets, wa ma alayna illa al-balaghul mubin. Our job is to teach the message. Isn't it right? So Allah wants everyone to learn the haqq, and then whether they follow it knowingly or they don't follow it, they should be doing that knowingly. Whatever the humans do, they should do it knowingly. So tomorrow they can't say, we did not know. So this is the nida of Jibreel. Wastami' yawma yunadi al-munadi min makanin qareeb. So that's the 14th specific attributes. We still have 5 minutes approximately to go. So let's see how many of them I can cover. 15th specific attribute of the Imam is the fact that the days and the nights will be long enough. So we find that the days and the nights will be longer than usual. There's a lot told about this specific attribute. And when somebody came and said to the Imam alayhi salam about this thing, so obviously Imam alayhi salam rejected by saying, in other words, that anybody who denies that is one of the zanadiqa, one of those zindiq people. Zindiq is in Arabic, we call it to those people who have nothing to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basically we cannot deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to do everything, and he did break the moon with the miracle and mu'jiza of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The moon was already broken into 2 pieces, and the day of judgment also is going to be elongated. So there is no surprise for a person to say that how the days and the nights will be elongated in the time of the Imam, when we already know that the Day of Judgment is so much elongated that it is equal to 50,000 years of the calculation of the calendar year of this world. 16th of all, the 16th mukhtas and specific attribute of our Imam is bringing of the Mus'haf of Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Imam al-Muttaqeen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam is the one who compiled the Holy Quran. Tartib, compilation of the Quran in the time of Rasulullah. Compilation of Quran was done by Imam Ali alayhi salam. He is the one who compiled the Quran in the time of Rasulullah, and it was in the form of a book, kitab. That's why we call it a kitab. You know, we don't call kitab in Arabic a book, quote unquote, two pieces of papers scattered here and there. You don't call it a kitab, you call it papers, isn't it right? When the Prophet says, "Inni tarikun fikum al-thaqalain, kitab Allahi wa itrati ahla bayti," I am leaving among you two valuable things, Book of God, kitab Allah, wa itrati, and my family, ahl al-bayti. So when Prophet called this a book, it is a book. It was in the form of a book. It was not scattered papers. Amir Mumin alayhi salam, Imam Ali alayhi salam, was the one who compiled the Holy Quran in the life of the Holy Prophet. It was available to the masses in the form of a book. And Imam Ali alayhi salam also had compiled another way of compiling the Holy Quran according to the Sha'nul Nuzul of the ayat. How every verse was narrated, when and how. So every narration, every revelation of a verse upon the soul qalb of the Prophet has a story behind it. Keeping in mind how the verse was narrated, that takes a lot of knowledge. You need to know the whole scenario, you need to know the whole context, and you need to know the whole sequence. That's a huge knowledge, isn't it right? So nobody can do that except Imam Ali alayhi salam. He's the one who did it, and he compiled. This is misused by some of the sects of Islam today, and they say that you Isna Ashari Shias, you people believe that your Quran is a different one, not the Quran that we all have in our hands, which is totally baseless thing. We never believe in any other Quran. That's the one Quran. There's one Quran that Allah revealed in the Prophet. There is no second Quran. There is no tahrif. There is no tahrifun lafzi we are talking about. You know, there is no tahrif and defacing of the Quran and changing of its words and replacing it with different words, losing of any word, addition of any word into it. In terms of the words of the Quran, there is no tahrif. It was never altered and changed. So what we believe that has been misused or abused by some of the sects of Islam, what we believe is as follows. We believe that Imam Ali alayhi salam compiled the Quran in two different ways, not two different Qurans, two different ways. One is the very Quran that we have in our hand, which is compiled by Imam Ali alayhi salam in the life of the Holy Prophet. Isn't it right? He is the Babu Madinatil Ilm. He is the gateway to the knowledge of the Prophet. Who else would do the job? No one had the knowledge comparable to Imam Ali alayhi salam to do that. Second way of compiling Quran was the way he compiled according to the Sha'nul Nuzul. That means the tartib and sequence of the revelation of each ayat. If one ayat was revealed earlier on the Prophet and the other one was revealed later, Imam Ali alayhi salam placed the ayat which was revealed earlier according to that narration, he placed the ayat earlier, and the one who is narrated later, he placed it later in the Quran. So the placement of the ayat were the placement of ayat was taking place according to the sequence it was revealed, which is a sign of the knowledge of a person. So this kind of mushaf and book of Amir Mumin alayhi salam, which is the same Quran with a different sequence. It's not a different Quran. We don't have no two Qurans in Islam. So this mushaf of Amir Mumin alayhi salam will appear at the time. He presented to some of the ashab and they rejected it. They were not ready to accept it. And Imam Ali salam hid it. And this is one of those tabarrukat and blessed items which are with the, along with the, all the rest of the blessed items and tabarrukat of the rest of the prophets of God and the imams which are with the imam of our time. And he's going to bring all those blessed items with him, including the ring of Prophet Solomon, Prophet Suleiman, including the stick of Prophet Musa, including the qamis and shirt of Prophet Ibrahim, and the rest of the Zulfiqar, the sword of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and the rest of the things. So last of all, I think the time is almost over, or it is over. Let me just mention one more before I end my speech, and that's the 17th specific attribute, as we are talking about the specific attributes of the Imam of our time which are found with him only. The 17th one, if Allah permits, we can talk about less rest of them later on if Allah allows. 17th one is a piece of cloud. A piece of cloud which will be hovering over the head of the Imam, and the angel, the munadi, the announcer will announce, that this is Mahdi of Ali Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam. We have the similar thing about the Holy Prophet as well. It is narrated that Prophet, when he used to go out, there used to be a cloud hovering over his head. But we did not find in any narration that there was a munadi, an announcer on behalf of Allah, announcing to the people that this is the Prophet. But whereas in the case of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam, it's not only a cloud, but also there is an announcer on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are talking about the unique things that are going to happen that humanity never witnessed. So an announcer will also announce that this is the Mahdi of Ali Muhammad alayhi salam, who is going to fill up the earth with justice. And the way it is full with oppression. So we find that, and obviously he is going to have all those, he is going to have jinns and angels along with the Imam, who are going to be part of his supporters and his helpers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to understand and to practice the ma'arif of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to become the muntazir and the true awaiter of the Imam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to follow the footsteps of the walayat of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to become one of the ansar and a'wan of the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to raise our children to become the a'wan and ansar of the Imam alayhi salam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to sacrifice everything that we have for the sake of the Imam of our time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we don't die unless the Imam of our time is pleased with us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to be resurrected in the group of the Imam alayhi salam. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin. Read the dua, Kumail, please.